Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Night Court. Rob Fisher with you, Brevin Knight with you, as we talk some hoops and some other things with you here in the next half hour. Glad you are with us. As always, you can tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and that's what you're doing right now. But make sure you tell your friends as well to tune in to Night Court, and you can catch us on Twitter at The Fish Nation, at Brevin Knight 22, and at Night Court 22. BK, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great, Roberto. We have a little venue change.
Yeah.
Here we're able to be in the Fisher Palace.
Yeah.
Out in the back here.
Yeah, the property.
The property. That's it.
The estate. The Fisher Estate. And we're in the back. Got the heater rolling and feeling good. Feeling good here today. I watched some college basketball last night, Brevin. Because there was nothing really to watch.
What?
Yeah. DePaul's one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life.
What?
Seton Hall. And who's the coach at Seton Hall?
Shaheen Howard. That's like my brother.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes. He's done a fantastic job with them this year.
Just annihilated DePaul last night. I bet Seton Hall, so I was very happy. DePaul dropped a 3-18 on the season. It was 15-2 before the game started. I mean, it was unbelievable. I've never seen a worse team than DePaul.
Well, and I am so happy for Shai because the thing is he had to really reinvent his team in terms of getting them to play at a higher level than how they started the year. And as the season's going along, as the more and more I watch them, it's like they've taken on his personality.
Yeah.
Whereas they are who they are. They're not going to shoot a bunch of threes. They're just going to outwork you, out-physical you.
Oh, they got some big dudes, too.
Oh, and
a lot of beef.
Boy, they just go out there and they play the game the right way. So shout out to you, Shaw, for doing a great job.
Yeah, also watched a little NBA, had a doubleheader last night. And the thing I thought about during the game was Tobias Harris. He's a double-double, walking double-double. He has huge games more often than not.
Yep.
Yet it feels like he's not regarded as anything special.
Well, and I think a big part of it is because when Joel Embiid is playing, when James Harden was playing, it's always like he was just like the forgotten guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a fan of his and thought that he was a guy who could take another step. But I don't know if the demeanor to take the other step is there. The skills are there, the talent is there, but I always say to move up into that upper echelon of players that are able to do it on a consistent basis, there's a level of swag you got to have, you got to play with. And I think that when those star guys are around, that swag or his light becomes too diminished to be that guy on a regular basis. But I mean, you're not going to find much more with his size, his abilities to score, whether from the outside, going on the inside, to being a defender. He has all of the tools. It's just you haven't been able to see it consistently enough from him.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. And, hey, even though his name's been on the trade block, it seems, every single year, Philadelphia hasn't gotten rid of him.
Every year they talk about, well, Tobias Harris is No, because I think they feel the same way. It's there.
Yeah.
Like you see, and all teams need a third person. You need a second person. You need other people. So at this point, it's Maxey and Joel Embiid. That's their 1-2 combination. But you still need that third guy to be able to help your team along. And it's nice if he can be a guy of size, and that's what Tobias Harris gives them.
All right, Grizzlies. Grizzlies in the last week took on the Orlando Magic, beat the Orlando Magic 107-106. Joe Ingles had a shot at the buzzer.
Sure,
wide shot. Open look. Didn't get it to go. Grizzlies hold on, win the game. Great game by Jaren Jackson Jr. Vince Williams Jr. was awesome as well. That was a fun game and as loud as FedEx Forum's been.
Yeah, and it was so good to get a home win for those fans.
Yeah.
And I mean, you talk about people being engaged. All of the name guys, of course, not playing, but the fans did not react in that way at all. It was nice to see an engaged crowd. It was nice to see the size crowd that was in the building. And then the team came out, and they played fantastic basketball. They held on there at the end, and it was fitting and only right that they were able to walk out with the victory. I would have felt so down for them.
Yeah.
If Ingles had made that shot at that juncture,
mm-hmm.
hadn't done much the entire game, but then all of a sudden comes in from the takes it out. Banchero drives. They do a good job of making him have to give up the ball, and then Ingles would have made the shot. It would have just been made for not a good post-game show. But I was extremely happy with how hard this team has continued to play despite who's on the floor.
Yeah, and by the way, Joe Ingles, one of the real good dudes in the league, even though he can be a little bit of an annoying pest on the floor.
I know you love him.
Really good dude. He's always been really cool with me. He has a child with autism, and my son has autism, and he always says hello and asks how my son is doing, which is really cool. And Mike Conley told me that he's one of the funniest guys he's ever been around in the league.
You can say you can see it just the way that he carries himself. I would say that he was that type guy.
Yeah,
like he doesn't look like he's ultra serious. He looks like he's a guy that likes to have fun. I'm just also happy he was a guy that
missed the shot. Absolutely. After that game, Jaren Jackson Jr. Went out and said how nice it was to win at home. You know, because the Grizzlies only have 5 wins at home this season. But then he went on to say, he said, it doesn't matter if it's home or the road right now. Every game is important. We need to treat every game like a playoff game. And after that game, I got so mad at you last week. You made me look at the standings. So now I'm looking at the standings and I'm thinking, oh my God, we're only 2.5 behind Golden State. And then Golden State lost again. And I'm like, oh my God, we can catch Golden State. And then the Grizzlies go to Indiana and they play really hard. Oh, man, just fall short to the Pacers, lose by 6, but played well, did what they've been doing, played hard, played with the lead, and Indiana just made more plays down the stretch, took advantage of some Grizzlies' mistakes down the stretch.
Yeah, they did, and a lot of it, so we started in that third quarter. Mm-hmm. It was a 41-point quarter for Indiana, and they were able to get offensive rebounds. They were able to score some points off turnovers, and it kind of created a little bit of momentum for them as they went into the fourth quarter. And in that fourth quarter, as you said, the Grizzlies just couldn't make enough plays down the stretch. And you think about it, for Indiana, it wasn't your normal names that were people that hurt you. It was, one of the names was Jalen Smith. It was a guy who comes off the bench, hadn't scored, hadn't shot the ball in terms of volume of shots, but because of the injury with Miles Turner, he was given more time. And between he and Jackson, those two bigs, really did a number on the offensive glass. Mathurin had a good game for them also. And so you gave them the credit. Nembhard, I thought, was good in terms of getting into the paint, creating some things. And they made more plays down the stretch of that game. But you walked out of there still feeling like, boy, if they can give this effort with the guys that are playing, like, they'll be able to still continue to win some games.
Yeah, and I looked at the standings, lost a half game to Golden State that night. But okay, all right, you know, that was on the road against a really good team, and you played really hard. You were almost there. And then we come back home to take on the Sacramento Kings in the second night of a back-to-back. The night started off really well. As I walked in, and there were 50 kids, and this one child said, "Are you a celebrity?" And I looked at her and I said, "Why, sure I am."
Self-proclaimed celebrity.
So next thing you know, I got 50 kids hugging me and taking pictures and screaming "Go Grizz!" And I was like, "Oh my God, this was great." So, and then I went down to the floor, and these same kids were down on the floor, and when they saw Jaren Jackson Jr., it was a little more excitement from the children. Hell, they saw Gigi Jackson and they went crazy. But I warmed them up. I was the warm-up act.
That's at the end of the day, that's what we are anyway.
That's right.
We're the people that you can really touch.
That's right. We get you ready for the show. So that was fun. But then I look at the injury report, Brevin, and holy cow. You got 11 guys on the injury report. You have 7 healthy bodies to play. You signed Matthew Hurt from the Memphis Hustle. So you have a 10-day guy, 2 2-way guys, 1 guy just converted from a 2-way contract, and then 3 other guys.
Makes it hard to win NBA games.
That's going to be hard to win. And my concern, Rev, was when I look at the injury report, I just heard Jaren Jackson Jr. tell me that every game's a playoff game. And now I see 4 or 5 guys that are on the injury report because of soreness. Now maybe it's just semantics, and I'm having a problem understanding the semantics of the whole thing. Soreness.
Well, I think what happened was I gave you hope, and and whereas you thought with the amount of injuries that this team had that hope was starting to become a little fleeting. And then to see, especially guys that had performed well, Conchar, you know, said he had to sprain an ankle, played so well in the fourth quarter. And the thing for us, that I always tell people, is like, we're as much, we work for the team, but we're also as much, we're fans of the team.
Yeah.
Like, we enjoy this, we enjoy them being able to have success and at least be in a position to have success. And it felt like and feels like at this point it is making it harder and harder for them to achieve success playing against other full NBA rosters.
It just felt to me, and I know there was a game last year at the end of the season when the Grizzlies didn't do a lot down the stretch, and I criticized that because they were resting guys and basically giving games away when they still had a chance to finish with, you know, the number one seed at the time. I looked at this roster and I looked at the injuries, and I think the fandom in me came out and said, well, if this was a playoff game, would they be able to play? And if aren't these games, didn't Jaren just say these are all playoff games for the rest of the season? I mean, if they want to make a run to have games in March matter and the play-in still be a possibility, you can't just take nights off. You can't. And I think that's what frustrated me about it.
Well, I agree with you. And again, you give those guys credit because they pushed Sacramento. That first quarter was as fun as anything. Shot the ball extremely well. The fans were involved in the game. And then I thought it was, in some way, a wake-up call for the Sacramento Kings happened. And then the next three quarters, you saw that they were just a better team. Yeah. And at that point, they can control the game. And Sabonis did what he did. We saw De'Aaron Fox just methodically every quarter do what he did. And it was just a instance where they had too much. Well, the feeling that we have at this point is, like, we want to call – games where the team has a realistic chance of winning. That's at the end of the day, that's what the feeling is. Yes, we want them to be successful, but we also I want to get on TV and talk about the game that's going on. I don't want to have to start talking about other teams, other situations, what's going on in the NBA. I want to talk about how well this game that we're right in front of us is being played. And once you start to get a number of your guys being call-ups 10 days, you realistically can't say that you're going to go out and win those games at a high clip. And so, the feelings that you have are warranted. And warranted in two ways. Because we want to see this team continue to be successful, and that's what we've become accustomed to. This isn't the old Grizzlies. This is not those Grizzly teams before the core four got themselves together, and we're just like, all right, fellas, well, we know we're going to do the season. We're going to be professional about what we do, but on April 16th, you can have your summer plans ready to go because you know there's not going to be any playoffs. Well, we became accustomed to when it's April 11th or whatever, 12th, whatever that last day is, it's like, all right, well, who are we playing in the playoffs? Like, where are we going to? What's our chance of winning? We're going to do our round table to talk about who needs to do what. That's what we became accustomed to. And yes, there the injuries have happened. That's been somewhat of a setback. But you still felt like there was still enough, especially after Ja Morant came back but then went down with his season ending. It still was like, oh, I still think like we found enough of a groove that we can get back into this. And so you just don't want it. You don't want it to just go by the wayside.
I thought it was over until you told me to look at the standings.
That's what I told you. I created hope.
So you created hope. That's your problem. Grizzlies signed Matthew Hurt, as we mentioned. They've signed two more 10-day guys, Trey Jameson and then the other guy.
Oh, listen. Petey will be able to say this name. And
Tosun Ewoma.
No. I'm going to call him by his first name, and hopefully that's not disrespectful in any way. But I think it would be even more disrespectful to continue to mess up his last name.
Isn't that right? Tosun Ewoma?
Ewoma. Oh, man, it's Ewoma? Not that bad. Ewoma.
Yeah. So maybe not so bad as it's Evbuomwan.
Well, the good thing is a lot of silent letters. that will help me.
Ewoma.
And like I said, it's I don't know. I respect everybody that has an opportunity to play in the league. I'm glad y'all that guys get the chance I like to call games where you know what's going on. You know where we're going, how it's going.
Right. All right. So the Grizzlies, they signed Tosin Iwoma and Trey James to 10-day contracts. You know, last week we talked about it. Your pregame ritual of meeting the guys at the line, right? And how David Roddy almost took you down. All right. So this week I want to ask you about the layup line. When you see these dudes that you have to introduce yourself to, who were born, they were born while you were in the middle of your career.
Probably somebody's almost after.
Do you introduce yourself?
Yes.
Do you give them your resume?
Just literally the other guy's like, yeah, so have a good game. These guys like, how you doing? My name is Brevin Knight. I do TV here. That's how you doing, Brevin Knight? I do TV here. Good luck to you. It's going to become, I have my normal ritual, and I have a new guy ritual.
Right.
And even for our guys that come back from injury, they get a kick out of it, because even when they come back and they've been out for any time, I still say, hey, Brevin Knight, I do TV, just introducing myself to you. So it's just more people that I have to do it to now.
That line's pretty short, though, right now.
Oh, the other day, we got done with the line so quick, I got back over to Petey, he was like, geez, this is the fastest I've ever seen plug in to get ready for the game. I think you guys were still on TV. I got done saying what's up to everybody, and y'all still were on. So it's getting shorter and shorter.
The Grizzlies next up, it'll be the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do we know about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
One of the hottest teams in the league at this point. I think they've won 9 of 10 games, somewhere around then. They were on a 8-game winning streak before they went to Milwaukee, and I felt bad because JB Bickerstaff and I, because we go back so far, we still text, and I was telling them congratulations, but I also let them know that they were embarking on the longest winning streak that was a non-LeBron James team. Mm-hmm. And the last one that had more than an 8-game win streak was my rookie year team. It was in Cleveland, and we had won 10 in a row.
Right.
So I was like, well, no pressure. They were going in to play Milwaukee. And so he sends me a message back saying, yeah, well, thanks for that, whatever, we go. And then they happen to lose that night. Right. And I can promise you, the entire game, while we're calling our game, I'm watching their scores because I want them to be successful. And I don't want it to be like, I jinxed it.
Right.
So the game is over. And then I get a text as soon as their game is done, later on in the evening, I get a text from JB that says, thanks for fucking nothing.
I love JB.
So it'll be really good to see JB and give him a big hug and tell him that I'm sorry that they lost, but it was nice that they avenged that loss against Milwaukee. They played them on a back-to-back, and they beat them the next night. So I told him that it was nice that y'all avenged it, but it was also nice to just leave us in the record books in some way. That we stay as the longest winning streak. That's a non-LeBron James team.
Yeah.
Since that time.
We're for tomorrow night's television broadcast. Our three-pointer is favorite Grizzlies coach other than Taylor and JB. If we didn't have that rule, JB's one of my favorites. I mean, he was here a short time, but I really liked JB, and I thought he was a really good head coach. And you know me, I think they all know X's and O's. I think it's a matter of relationships and managing a team and having the attention of a team, you know, during timeouts and things like that. And I thought JB did a really good job of that. And I'm glad he's being successful in Cleveland.
Yeah, and to that point is, you think they had that winning streak and they've had the success when Darius Garland was out with his injury. I think he's just coming back. He'll just be coming back. Evan Mobley has been out for over a month with his injury. Donovan Mitchell had been in and out of the lineup. And so that is when, as we've seen with Taylor Jenkins, that's when you get to see how good or creative coaches can be. When your main guys are down, can you still get your guys to play at their best? Can they still play together? Do you make certain adjustments? I think that's what JB has shown And I'm happy because so many people at the beginning of the year talking about, was he going to be on the hot seat? I'm like, hot seat, man, for what? Like they've been a success. They've been have success, and so it was good. I am very happy that they are where they are at this point in the year, that they've won the way they have and been able to do it. Isaac Okoro has really taken a step in his game. Dean Wade has really taken a step in terms of what they've been able to do. And then our old friend Sam Merrill has been fantastic for them in terms of shooting the ball from the perimeter. So it'll be an interesting game and one in which I'm very happy to see JB back in the building.
Yeah, and then on Friday it'll be the Golden State Warriors coming to town. That was always a fun night, and with it being a Friday night, I'm sure it'll be a lot of excitement and a lot of lubrication in the building. and it'll be fun. It's always fun to take on the Warriors, and I look at the Warriors now, and I don't know. I just think they're very beatable. And if you still want a chance, this is a big game.
Yeah, shucks. It's a full game. It's a full game swing. If you want to keep with that mentality, mm-hmm. It would be nice if they can go out and play well and do well against Cleveland. The one person we left out is in Cleveland is Jared Allen, and he's been the one thing that's hurt the Grizzlies this year has been rebounding from other bigs, and he's a walking double-double machine. With the way that he rebounds on both ends of the floor, they'll have to do well with him. But with the Golden State situation, just defensively, and at this point, they don't put the fear into other teams. I think that was a big reason of why they were successful, was that you feared them coming in. Steph and Clay making shots, Draymond being an organizer, orchestrated over the other things, also bringing a level of physicality. Kevon Looney doing a fantastic job setting screens, getting guys open, and then him crashing the boards. And Wiggins, to me, the reason why they've been such a roller coaster team is this is not the same Andrew Wiggins. He's just not the same player as he was. And trying to integrate some of these other young players to go along with their veteran guys, they just haven't been a team that you feared, which I think has given other teams an opportunity to win.
Then the Grizzlies go to Boston, which is a nightmare because Boston has owned the Grizzlies. I don't remember the last time the Grizzlies won in Boston.
I don't know if I was. It may have been maybe my first years where I don't know if I've ever won ever called a winning game in Boston. I'm being honest with you. I don't know if I've called a winning game in Boston since I've been doing the TV. It's
been a nightmare playing and Boston. And it doesn't matter who's playing for the Grizzlies.
Hold on. They haven't even been close games.
No.
It has literally just been not good at all for this Grizzlies team. And the Celtics, I think they've only lost two or three games at home this season.
Yes.
And so it is. They've lost two games at home. They're 22-2 at home this year.
How about this? Grizzlies have lost 15 of 16 to Boston.
Yeah, see? I've been doing it. When was the win?
In Boston, we've lost 9 straight.
Okay. So that means I've done one. I've called one win.
Or maybe it was a national game and you didn't. Who knows?
Maybe I did. Exactly.
If Boston scores more than 100, if Boston scores more than 100 against the Grizzlies, they are 22-3, their last 25. That's just a nightmare. I like going there, to dip my feet on the parquet and
get some clam chowder.
I love going to Boston, but oh my God, the game has always been miserable.
I don't love going to Boston. I'm not going to lie to you. No. I like the food, I like the clam chowder.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I have zero interest in going to Boston.
All right. Clam chowder's good. And the game sucks.
Maybe that's why.
And then the Grizzlies go to New York to take on the Knicks. Speaking of another place I love to dip my toes into, Madison Square Garden. Although that's pretty gross. Dip your toes in there.
but you get a chance to see your guy.
I get to see Walt Frazier, my man. Yeah, my friend, my buddy, my pal.
You guys have grown to have a nice two game a year relationship.
That's right. Let me tell you something. It's one of my favorite things in the league is going to New York and having Walt Frazier say, "Hey," he probably has no idea what my name is, but he'll come up to me and shake my hand and say hello and look at what I'm wearing, and that just that brightens my day every time that we are in New York.
Well, so. and the flip side of that is another team playing great basketball. They're on an 8-game winning streak themselves right now at the Knicks, and Jalen Brunson continues to show that he is a upper echelon, high-level NBA player. And another one of these guys who scores in the paint, no matter what his size is. Yeah. I go back to he, Tony Parker, guys that are able to do it in the paint without finishing above the rim.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. And so that'll be another big test for this Grizzlies team and another physical test for them.
Yeah.
But I love going to the Garden. There's nothing like – there is nothing. We all of the other arenas we go to, beautiful arenas, brand-new ones, whether you sit here, you don't, what stars are there, there is nothing like the Garden.
No.
You walk in there, it's just a entirely different vibe. It's its own vibe.
I'll never forget my first time at the Garden. And I walked from the Grizzlies. It's before they did all the renovations. And they right. had those small-ass hallways, yes. real small.
Yes.
And then the hallways led to center court, and you came out at center court.
Yes.
And from the locker room to center court.
Those pictures?
Pictures of, like, everyone who's performed at the Garden. I mean, it's everybody, you know. Everyone you could ever think of, going back 50 years. And it was a sight to see. It was awesome to see. I took video of it. Boy, that video looks like crap today. I mean,
I don't know what type of phone. Sucks. I playing there. I can tell you this.
When was the first time you played there?
I didn't play there like in high school. There were no high school tournaments. Didn't play there in college. We played across the river at the Meadowlands. We played Seton Hall. But coming there as a pro. And number one, being it's the worst locker room, one of the worst locker rooms for visitors that you could be in. It was like a matchbox.
Yep.
The training room, it was hard to just maneuver. But you didn't care because it was the Garden. And you walk onto the court, it's just somewhat the way that the play the organ.
The ceiling.
It's the ceiling. That was the old ceiling where it's like the looked like boards
right.
up at the top of it. But it didn't matter. It was... You felt the history being in there. Like, and then being a East Coast dude myself, it was like that was our mecca of basketball. That was it. Still to this day, when we come through that curtain and you walk out on the floor, it's just different. You see that orange and blue.
There are certain places like that. Wrigley Field is like that.
Right.
I went to the old Montreal Forum, was like that. Churchill Downs is like that. I assume, I've never been to Fenway Park, but I imagine it's the same sort of feeling there at Fenway Park. But yeah, you hit it on the head. You walk in and the history just smacks you in the face.
Yeah, I mean, you feel it.
Yes. My favorite thing was just looking up at that ceiling and going, that's the ceiling.
Yes.
And it's like, what am I looking at? I mean, right. You know, it was, but it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling to go back to Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to that for sure. All right. The Super Bowl is set. You went 1-1 in your picks last week.
Jesus, the
Ravens. I went 2-0.
I know you did.
And also hit them both against the spread. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are in the Super Bowl. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, here's my excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Taylor Swift. Go trailer. Hashtag trailer.
Oh, my God.
This is ridiculous. We don't have to make the pick yet. But just off the bat here, the 49ers and the Chiefs in a rematch of the Super Bowl. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we're gonna see an epic football game.
Right? I think so too.
I think when you get two teams of this caliber, and I don't care, the Kansas City Chiefs are just one of those teams that I don't care what happens during a regular season, they just got to get there. And when they get there, somehow they flip a switch. Andy Reid becomes a whole different coach. The Patrick Mahomes, all of a sudden, everybody catches the ball. He extends plays long enough to be able to get the ball where it's supposed to. Their defense just becomes phenomenal. Like, everything is what you expect. This is and in some ways, yes, it's the second back-to-back years for the 49ers. But they do. It's almost like this is the new glitz and glamour team
mm-hmm.
in the 49ers with the amount of names that they have on their team against the old hat that just is always there. They're always in a position to be right here. So yeah. I think it's going to be I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been one of those people that have looked forward to a lot of Super Bowls for the game. Like, he's always like, oh, let's see what the commercial is going to be. I think this is a year where you can really talk about the game.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on the Chiefs. I think it's the flipping of the switch come postseason time. San Francisco, after the Green Bay win, I thought to myself, you know what? Great teams and teams that can go on to win championships, they escape sometimes. Right. And sometimes that can propel you to the ultimate goal. Well, what the hell was this week?
They did it again. I'm going to say, they had to escape two times.
So is it escaping twice and surviving, and now they go win? Or now is it, boy, they're not going to be able to escape again?
Well, I think it is. I think definitely it would be a lot tougher to escape against Kansas City than it was having to do it these past two, the first two times.
Yeah.
You know, Detroit is another team that hadn't been there. Like, it's all brand new. Yeah, they got up big early. And San Francisco has not been a come-from-behind team this year. But in those moments, to be able to make the plays, they were able to step up. So I just think that it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I can't wait to see Taylor Swift.
Oh, my Lord. Can't see the commercials. Can't wait to see what commercials we come up with.
Yeah.
And the halftime. It was Usher this year?
Yeah, yeah.
Watch a little halftime also.
Taylor Swift turned it down. What if she would have accepted it? What if she was doing halftime as Kelsey's girlfriend?
I wouldn't have watched.
All right, so I got a TV note for you, too.
What you got?
So yesterday I went to a little local establishment. You know, I had to drop my son off for this after-school class.
Okay.
And I had some time, so I went and had a drink.
It's the best way to get through.
At this local establishment, they play Jeopardy on the TV. And, like, turn up the volume and everybody, like, pays attention and plays Jeopardy.
Really?
And I got hooked. And I couldn't stop because I got a couple of them right. And I was so excited. Somebody asked, they're like, oh, did you do okay? I was like, yeah, I think I did it. Well, no, not really at all. But I got a couple. Van Halen was one of the categories.
It's always nice to do when you watch that. Because a lot of times those damn categories, you're like, I don't even know the category.
Oh, and then there was like colleges and universities, and it was a bunch of sports ones. And I was like, yeah. So I felt pretty
you felt smart.
I felt smart yesterday watching Jeopardy. Did you ever watch Jeopardy?
Yeah, I did. And I tell you, I used to feel smart, and then I start watching it with my family, and I didn't feel smart anymore. My smartness has gone out the window. I think I haven't used that part of my brain enough.
Oh,
it is a
workout, man.
Heck, you get done, it's like
just paying attention. You got done. I took a drink. I was like, whoo! Wiping my brow and everything. It was crazy.
But no, it's fun to watch. It's fun, and it's always fun when you get a category that you feel like I'm a little bit confident in this one.
Yeah, but then it's sad when like the first three questions you're like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
You don't even know how to say, like, what is, like, who is. You don't know which one to start with.
Yeah. And I told you, my favorite one was it was the Van Halen category. And it was, who claimed that he wouldn't jog anymore because the ice cubes kept falling out of his glass? And I was like, I know who that is. It's Eddie Van Halen.
The little things we remember.
Yeah, it was good.
One other TV thing for all you TV show watchers.
Yeah.
If you have not seen it yet, got two for you to watch. The Gilded Age.
Mm-hmm.
I love time pieces. That was it's fantastic. And The Mayor of Easttown. Those are two shows that if you want to have something a little binge watch, those are two good shows.
And what is it again?
The Gilded Age.
Uh-huh.
And The Mayor, M-A-R-E, not the mayor.
Right.
It's Mayor, that's her name. Mayor of Easttown.
Okay.
They're on... I think they're both on Max.
Okay. All right, perfect. And by the way, Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David returns to HBO this weekend. Final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I've never watched it.
It's one of the great funny shows of all time. Check that out this Sunday on HBO and the Max. All right.
Max.
That's going to do it for this edition of Night Court. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you tune in again next week when we have our Super Bowl picks.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So we'll have that. We'll talk more Grizzlies, talk more NBA, and visit with you. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to tune in each week here on Night Court and check us out on Twitter at The Fish Nation, at BrevinKnight22, and at Night Court 22. For BK, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again next week.
Peace.